It's raining promises, spending increases, tax cuts, innovative ways to spend the Apple windfall. But do the finances stack up, and what account is being taken of headwinds, some predictable, others as yet maybe unknown? Sage old heads remember 2007 and the rapidly sinking financial crash that lay in wait. In 2020, the COVID crisis followed even before a new government was formed. This morning, we've asked Professor of Economics at the University of Galway, John McHale, also a former chair of the Fiscal Advisory Council, to cast an eye over the party manifestos. Sinn Féin's will be published tomorrow, and give us his assessment of the financial promises to date. Professor McHale is in our Galway studio, and a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mary.
Now, all the parties are promising increased welfare payments, reduced childcare costs and a wide range of investments in capital projects. Some are offering tax cuts, reduced VAT and other inducements to invite people to give them their vote to one party over another. It is an election. These are manifestos. But have you concerns? And if so, what are they?
There is, I think, an air of unreality to the campaign so far. So we see this spiral of competitive bidding for votes. But I think the US election in particular has appreciably changed the risk. What I think we would really like to see is a much more nuanced debate about those risks, a more cautious, contingent, possibly backloaded approach. So we seem to be going ahead as if nothing had changed, but I think something very significant has changed, but it's just not being reflected in the campaign.
Okay, I'll get into the Trump effect in a little while, but the parties all tell us that their offerings are costed by the Department of Finance. So doesn't that take care of the concerns there may be around whether or not the economy can afford the promises that are being made?
Well, I think there have been some improvements in costings as compared to previous manifestos and campaigns. And in particular, there's a greater role for the Parliamentary Budget Office in those costings. But it's still quite limited. Other countries, particularly the Netherlands, have decades-long history of having a much more structured approach to the costings of manifestos. And I think that provides discipline for the parties and also allows voters to make much more informed choices, because as it stands, it's very difficult to compare these manifestos. So I think we could do an awful lot better.
Mm. You've mentioned the US election as one of the headwinds. What are the others?
Well, I do think the US election is the biggest headwind of all. We're so dependent on American multinational firms. And I think now there's a high likelihood that there will be changes to US corporation tax rules and possibly to tariffs, which could really change the incentives for US multinationals, which have been using Ireland really as a base for their production and for their exports. So I really do think that is the biggest risk. Broader risks that in part I think stem from things that we're seeing sort of happening in terms of the global political environment would be sort of a backtracking from globalization, which has been a huge benefit to Ireland. It's been the basis for the success of the Irish model. So just a range of risks, but I think that the effects of the US election is the biggest one of all.
From what you're saying, it could be seismic. Can you spell it out in more detail? What particular foreign direct investment sector could be badly affected and impact on Ireland? And are we talking about investors pulling out of this country? Or are we talking about the tariffs that will be imposed on the exports being such, or I should say the exports going back to the United States being such as to make it unviable for them to be in this country?
Well, if you take a particular sector like the pharmaceutical sector, Ireland is just a disproportionate actor in terms of the production and export of pharmaceuticals. And a lot of those pharmaceuticals are produced in Ireland and then exported to the US. So the incentives to continue that activity could be substantially changed by changes in US tax laws and in tariffs. So that's a sector that's incredibly important from the point of view of Irish tax revenues. It's not just corporation tax revenues, it's broader income tax revenues and other revenues as well. So we wouldn't expect these firms to pull out immediately, but because our growth and our really strong fiscal position has been so dependent on that sector and other major sectors where the multinationals have strong levels of activity, we could see over time very substantial effects on the Irish economy and the Irish budgetary situation.
Have we not put in place some funds to take account of potential downturns in corporation taxes, like the Future Ireland Fund, and then we have the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund as well?
Yes, I don't want to create the impression that we've been running a completely irresponsible fiscal policy. Ireland is really unusual in that it's actually running budget surplus of around 3%, and those surpluses are projected to continue to the end of the decade. But longer term, even with the current fiscal system that we have, the benefit rules and the taxes, because of demographics, we will be moving from a situation where we have a surplus of around 3% of national income to a deficit of 3% or more of national income by mid-century. So even though we're in a strong short to medium term fiscal position, we're in a much weaker longer term fiscal position, right, really just because of demographic forces.
But just finally, we have this Apple money, this big chunk of money, and most parties are talking about investment in infrastructure. Is that the way to go?
Well, I think the Apple money has really distorted the debate. So it amounts to about 4.5% of national income. By mid-century, we could have deficits equal to that amount. I think the question to ask, if we were told that the national debt was lower by 4.5% of GDP, would you go out and spend all that money? And I don't think you would. And really, the same should apply to the use of the Apple money. There are real needs in terms of spending, what we
would you really save
need
it?
To do is to think of. I would save it and possibly
all of it
in the near term. Yes, until there was some more sort of clarity or how these risks are evolving. But there may actually be need to actually strengthen the tax base rather than narrowing it. So yes, there are real needs for spending, but we must be able to fund it in a sustainable way, taking into account the risks that we face.
Professor John McHale, thank you very much for your time this morning.